Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Lions, but we had Eye of the Tiger as Celtic dominated the Rangers to go 13 points clear. It's all his fault. Scott Brown causes chaos as he single-handedly to blame for several Rangers players getting red cards. All this and more on the latest episode of 20 Minute Tims. Episode 174 of 20 Minute Tims, the Champions podcast, the podcast of the champions, and I am joined this week by Stephen.
Hello there.
And Melly.
As Stevie G says, let's go.
And I am Jamie, your host through this podcast, your guide. Melly, did you enjoy the game yesterday?
I enjoyed the result, James.
We had a wee celebration. What game's that?
Say, the Glasgow Derby, Stephen.
Right, okay.
Did you enjoy it?
Parts of it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it because I wasn't sitting in my usual seat. My mum was. Really? My dad took my mum to her first ever Celtic game.
It was Mother's Day.
It was Mother's Day. She went on the proviso that Celtic would win. She says, I'm only going to go if Celtic win.
Well, yeah, it's a good deal if you can get it, yeah.
So she went and I was in another part of the stadium. I'm not too familiar with where exactly it was. But I'll tell you, it was right beside the Huns.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm
familiar with it.
Yeah. I would pay extra to sit there for every single Glasgow derby because it was brilliant.
You're just nice and warm off the hot Huns.
Just basking in the abuse. I was like, oh, give me it. And then
when bright red Huns.
And then the wee guy I was with, my pal Ryan, after the game, he was so hyped up. He was threw his scarf right at them and they all went taunting. I'm like, this is the VIP experience. I don't want to be in beside Rod Stewart. I want to be here. I want to be in a glass dome right in the middle of that.
It's like Titanic. You know, your usual seat is up where all the posh people are and all that, but then you get down among the Irish people below the deck.
And we're all Irish dancing. And
they're all having a great time.
It was absolutely sensational. The game, it was okay. The football.
Entertaining for the neutral, I believe, is the usual term of these things.
Tony Gale. We met Tony Gale and he said the standard was fairly poor.
Name dropping already. Yes. How many minutes are we in there? Under five.
Keep calling him Marcus Gale on it. That's the wrong one.
Michelle Gale. Do you remember Michelle Gale? Yeah. Do you want to do one, Melly?
No, the standard of the game, I thought the standard of the football was poor. I thought we were good in the first half, but the second half it drifted off. But first things first, I suppose we better address the lineup. The lineup got leaked, as it tends to.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the surprise inclusion of that lineup,
Jonathan Hayes.
Well, it's a common thing these days with the lineup leaking at least 24 hours before the game. But some of them have been wrong recently. We've been given ones that are one or two out, and I thought, well, there's no way that's definitely wrong. But sure enough, Johnny Hayes was in there. I don't understand it. Even after the game, I don't really understand what the thinking was behind it. We did have a podcast out yesterday, Melly at the Match, which is available on Patreon for the patrons, in which I was the sort of man, the gutted guy in the studio who couldn't get a ticket.
And were you the Andy Gray?
Yes, yeah. And Melly was broadcasting from the stadium, slash his car. I said, I can kind of get it that Johnny Hayes is maybe there as a sort of safeguard against Kieran Tierney's maybe perceived lack of fitness.
I thought that's what it was.
Yeah, he's not been fully at it really since he came back from his injury. And Johnny Hayes has been okay, but does that really merit a start in this game? I really wasn't convinced that. The rest of the lineup was fairly predictable, I thought.
And Cham?
I didn't really see that coming because he hasn't had any involvement whatsoever for several weeks, even a couple of months now. But the Johnny Hayes thing, just to go back to that, I wasn't totally against it per se because I do admire a curveball in these things, and that sure as hell was a curveball. But I don't think it properly really worked out, really.
I was totally against it. Couldn't understand it in the slightest. The only thing I could think is we catch Rangers out in the full-back positions all the time, those balls in, so maybe playing an out-and-out winger there, give us the width, stretch them. But Johnny Hayes, decent cover at left-back. Starting in a Celtic Rangers game, never for me. I'd have had Sinclair before him, I'd have had Ware before him, and I'd have had Burke in before him.
Is this his first taste of a Rangers game at all? Well, obviously played against them for Aberdeen, but I don't think he's been involved in any for Celtic.
It's just...
Certainly his first start anyway.
Yeah, his first start, it just didn't make sense to me. I don't see what a guy like that does, and going into the game, I didn't think he had a good game. Didn't do anything. Well, I thought he was pretty terrible, to be honest. Because he had seven corners in the first half.
He was poor.
One or two of them, okay, but the rest didn't beat the first man.
The first one in particular, just in the first few minutes, was a shocker. Yep. I just booted it straight at the first man at the near post.
He got booked, and when he has to go off at half-time, I think he was over my side, so he was looking like he had a slight injury, maybe holding his hamstring a bit. But when he goes off, that hamstrings the rest of the team, because then... It's likely that Kieran Tierney will need to go off at some point. So there's nobody on the bench to replace him. So we end up having to rejig the team. The easy thing to do is go with Sinclair and leave Johnny Hayes on the bench. And it just means you don't have to make a substitute because Cham had to come off at some point. Tierney was going to have to come off at some point. So that's two subs down before we've even started. And then you never know what can happen. And as we've seen with Boyata going off, I think just Lennon got that totally wrong.
Stephen, another one that was included, as you mentioned, it was in Cham. Mm. I thought he'd done well, considering.
Yeah, I thought he was all right. I think a lot of people have kind of lost patience or lost faith in Cham a wee bit because he hasn't played much. I don't even know if he's been involved at all since...
He's been since the Ibrox game.
Yeah, shocker performance at
Ibrox.
He was
dynamite at the beginning of the season. He's a good player.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we only have to go back to the previous Rangers game where he dominated everything at home and scored the winner. I'm surprised to see him straight back in there. It looked to me like a team that was going to be, as Millie's alluded to here, it was going to be like 60, 60% fit across the board. There's a lot of players in there who have struggled for game time recently, and we're relying an awful lot on them in this.
This is, and Cham stepped in, I thought he'd done well. He is a good player, and going up against Rangers midfield, which, well, it's pish. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They're pish. So he was fine in there. The rest of the team sort of picked itself. But as you say, there was just so many positions you think could need to make a change there. And I just think the Johnny Hayes one was a risky one that was never going to pay off.
And Cham should have scored, though.
Yeah,
that first
right
couple of
at
minutes,
the start.
Should have buried that. A good save from McGregor. He didn't have to really do much, but he is good at just getting his body behind these kind of things and being in the right position. But what a start that would have been. They started extremely well, Celtic. It could have been a couple of goals up in the first few minutes, but Cham should have buried that. He had another chance not long after that, but boy, can he shoot. Been saying it all season.
Actually, Stephen, the object of the game, you have to score a goal. You don't bury the ball. When you bury the ball, you have to dig a hole and put the ball in it. So that's what burying the shot is.
Thank you, literal Stephen Gerrard.
No problem.
I'm a huge fan of this current.
This is going to be a recurring thing through this episode of the podcast. So.
This current trend on Twitter. If you've somehow managed to miss it, Stephen Gerrard began this week, I think, talking about. Well, he displayed a lack of understanding of what metaphors are.
Yeah.
And he said that, I think he was asked, basically terms along these lines, if that going to Celtic Park was going into a Lions Den. Having never heard a metaphor before, Stephen Gerrard balked at this, and I think his brain was just ticking away thinking, no, there aren't going to be any real lions there, surely. Yeah, he said, a Lions Den is when four lions jump over a cage and you fear for your life. Now, a number of things wrong with that. That's not a lion's den, Stephen. That is a lion's cage.
Yeah, it's a zoo he's describing.
Yeah, does he think that lions are exclusively zoo attractions? Second of all, why four? And why are they jumping over a fence? That almost never happens. When the four lions ever jump over a fence?
That is an absolute mess.
Yeah.
It was a classic case of someone thinking they're the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
So how does Celtic line up, Melly?
It looked like a 4-3-3 to me, with Brown sitting and McGregor and Cham ahead of them. Thought we controlled the midfield, didn't we? Didn't give away too many chances to Rangers in the first half. And we've done it time and time again. As soon as they come out on us, we catch them out because they just leave so much space. Fullbacks are pushed on and there's just gaps. The two centre-halves are just left there, as we've seen. James Forrest, the ball breaks. James Forrest with a great first-time pass. I think it's Brown puts them off, breaks to Forrest. A wonderful pass for you, wonderful, with his left foot. It was kind of similar to Dembele's pass to Edouard at Ibrox in the 3-2 game. Just a sweeping ball. And once Edouard's got 2-on-1, but 1-on-1 with him, they do not have a clue what to do with him. And Scott Brown's keeping up. I was willing him to slide it through for Scott Brown, but I was happy enough as well. But just the composure and the calmness to slot it past McGregor. Worrell didn't have a clue what he was doing. He was backing off. He was taking steps here and there. He looked like an absolute amateur.
Maybe underrated just how good Edouard's use of the ball was in there. And by that, I mean, when you see him dribbling, he's not just twisting and turning for the sake of it. He is watching what his defender is doing. The amount of times Worrell was forced to take backward steps while Edouard is weaving in and out of him is hilarious to watch, actually. But a great goal. A shout out to Forrest for that ball, the first time ball. At first glance, I thought, I don't know how much he knows about that. It looks as if he's maybe just playing it into an area for Edouard to run onto, but it's absolutely perfect when you see it back.
Yeah, it turns out Forrest sets up Edouard and then Edouard returns the favour later on, but it's quite good going for a guy like Edouard, like finishing that when he's the second best striker on the pitch. It's just unbelievable.
I thought Edouard was terrific yesterday. I think he bullied the Rangers defence. He kept them occupied physically, and he kept them occupied with his quality as well. I think if you're listening to this podcast and you yourself or know anyone who still thinks that you don't really rate Edouard and you think maybe Griffiths is the better player, dig a big hole in your back garden and put yourself into it.
Lop your head off.
Because Edouard is a quality player, and it's these big games he turns up for us.
Oh, 100%. He was brilliant yesterday. Just everything about, even leaving aside the solo nature of the goal, just everything he did. He gave the defence an absolute runaround. His hold-up play, absolutely excellent. It's just, he's developing into a real all-round striker for Celtic. And that's, what, 19 goals he's got now this season? That's brilliant. For him to go over the 20-goal mark, which he inevitably will, and still be as young as he is, brilliant.
Oh, don't say inevitably, because...
Because you can't see it.
Exactly. And Scott Sinclair's still stuck on 17.
Oh, yeah.
So it might not happen. But for the guy to get that many goals and missing large chunks of the season through injury as well, we've had patchwork teams all through the season, so he's doing well. Him and Forrest Sinclair have all nearly got 20 goals each, so the three up front are doing the job.
You mentioned them. Scott Brown played a massive part in the win yesterday, controlling the midfield. Man of the match in the stadium?
Yes.
Your man of the match?
No.
Who?
Christopher Ayer.
We'll get to him. Stephen?
Yeah, no, I did. Absolutely, Christopher Ayer. Well, we have well, previously mentioned that Stephen Gerrard began the week being confused about Lions and ended the week witnessing Ayer the Tiger.
Oh.
Just to let you know, that will be my best contribution to the podcast. Just switch my mic off just now.
Okay, we'll mention Chris Ayer. I thought Christopher Ayer... He was terrific.
Everybody just went in closer to the speaker there.
I was proud of him. It was a colossus of a performance.
Sure was.
Throwing himself in front of absolutely everything. No wild, crazy runs up midfield. Just doing the job of a quality central defender.
He did that a couple. He did bring the ball forward on a couple of occasions.
But it was always purposeful and meaningful.
Yeah. And even sprung a couple of attacks with huge tackles in the midfield as well.
He was everywhere. He absolutely was not losing that game.
No.
And it's incredible to think that he is only 20 years old.
Yeah.
Aye. Aside from everything else, the size and the build of him.
The boy's a unit.
He's a unit. He's massive. And I thought he was terrific yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Has he won me over, though?
He's best game for Celtic.
Definitely.
He was tremendous. Even the tackles at the end, the block on the line from Worrell is going to take most of going to take most of the glory. But his performance overall was just brilliant. He was the best player in the first half before it became back to the wall as well. I maybe jumped the gun slightly this season by saying he would captain a game. That doesn't look like it's going to turn out to be the case. But you know, to all intents and purposes, he was a captain out there. He might not have had the armband on, but he was an absolute bond leader out there in that game.
You taking it then?
Aye, that counts. That's the real quiz.
The good thing is, only 20 years old, but he's fully tied down, signed a new contract, so he's signed on till 2022. Plenty of time, and if he continues the development the way he's been showing it, especially in the last couple of months, I think he's going to end up a terrific player for us.
I'd honestly just clear the decks. I think I'd get rid of every single centre-half we have, apart from Christopher Ayer, and just start again. I know that's extremely unlikely, and I'm not chasing...
It's probably not, actually, because who are you including that?
Well, I'm not chasing Boyata and Benkovic at the door. I'm just being realistic about their situations. They're not going to be back next season, so really you're left with Ayer, Simunovic and Henry. I would just...
Marvin.
Oh, Marvin, of course. Oh, of course, Comper. You build the team around him and then you know, let him... teach Ayer the ropes. but genuinely I would just get rid of everyone, just build it around Christopher Ayer next season. He's proven that he can be Celtic's main defender going forward, in my opinion, and well, he's going to need to be now because we don't have anything. He is going to be the senior defender come the summer.
Do you think it was strange that there was no sign of Benkovic even on the bench?
I did at the time, yeah. I remember you remarked in the TMT official group chat that none of the lone players were involved at all in the starting lineup. There were three of them in the bench and Benkovic nowhere to be seen. I don't really know what's happened with that.
Again, we obviously win this match, but it just shows where we've got to as a club. Good result and all that, but that team, not one new signing from this season at all started that game. So we do need fresh blood in the summer. They still get the job done. They're still miles ahead of Rangers, who are pretty rotten. And going forward, what do Rangers do now? Do they keep Morelos? Well, we might have to, because nobody's going to seriously want him, surely.
Well, let's talk about it. Morelos sent off.
How can he plead innocence to that?
Well, he can. He absolutely can. I mean, there's things are certain in life, and one of them seems to be Morelos is going to get a red card.
15-1.
Was that much it was?
There was a lot of people raking in money from that, by the way.
Scott Brown, quite aside from his terrific performance yesterday, had his usual antics where he gets into these players' head and he winds up players. And I, for the life of me, if someone says, I'm going to wind you up all day, when you know it's going to happen, that should make you immune to being wound up. But they know what Scott Brown's going to do, and they take the bait every time.
I don't know, because if I woke up in the morning and I had a tweet to me saying, I'm going to wind you up all day, do you think I would ignore it, or do you think I would sit there all day just refreshing and refreshing until that wind up came?
The wind up did come. Yeah. A wee clip on the heels was all it took from Scott Brown, and Morelos flung an elbow at him.
Right in front of the light.
The guy is brain dead.
But genuinely, at this point now, I'm starting to question the guy's mental capacity now, because he's just... Tom English, for all his woeful opinions that are out there, he actually put it quite well. He said he's a good footballer, but a terrible professional. You can't rely on the guy at all. At what point is it just diminishing returns with the guy? You're sticking him out there into a big game, knowing there's a almost certainty that he's going to be sent off.
I think I read somewhere that he's missed through suspension and missed 10 games for Rangers this season.
Staggering.
through suspension and totting up points and bookings and all that sort of stuff. And I think he's now banned, as we record this, for 4 games.
Well, you know how Rangers like to talk about their record-breaking history now? They are the world's most successful club, and they break all these records. Well, Alfredo Morelos now holds the European record for most red cards in a season. So congrats all round for that.
Notch. Just write that.
Ding,
just
ding, ding. Well done for that.
Stick that on the scoreboard.
It takes that from Sergio Ramos, who once got sent off 4 times in his debut season for Real Madrid. And also his teammate Ryan Jack did the same for Rangers last season.
Morelos this year broke Ryan Jack's record of last year.
So brilliant. Pretty consistent for the Gels.
Exactly what they want, innit? They get beat yesterday, but they seen fight, they seen dig, they seen steel in midfield. They battled. And that's all we ask of my Rangers.
All that does is just give them excuses. After the game, that's all they talk about.
They set their stall out pretty early. I looked at the lineup and thought, I get once again.
Staunch.
Yeah, staunch. They've sacrificed any attempt at playing football here to just fill the team with Huns. And it's the same.
I love it.
Halliday gets wheeled out yet again. Ross McCrory, who to me looks a decent player, but he doesn't play for them. He just gets, again, wheeled out in these fixtures. It's so predictable. Andy Halliday, having noticed that Halliday was starting the game, I thought, what's happened to that Barisic guy? And so I searched for Barisic on Twitter, and do you know what I came across? I don't know how I've managed to miss this for the last seven months or so. The worst patter in Scottish football history. Do you know what they call him?
No.
Is it Barisic?
No. Oh. Well, you're close, but it's worse than that. That would have been better. It's hashtag Borna Bear.
Huh? What's his first name?
Borna.
Oh, my. Honestly, just edit that for this podcast.
Appalling, isn't it?
Terrible. Apparently, although I was reading a thing, an interview with Steven Gerrard, and he was talking about the Rangers fans.
Right.
And he said, you know, when I first came to Glasgow, I was confused because everyone called Rangers fans the Bears. And when I went into the stadium, I imagined it was going to be full of actual bears. but it's not bears, they're men and women and human children.
Yeah.
He was surprised. That was quite surprising. But they did score. They scored through their best player, as far as we're concerned on this podcast, Ryan Kent. Not enough said about the guy's haircut.
His jail cut.
It's really bad.
Jarhead.
But he's a decent wee player, Stephen.
He is. And I think that just in the kind of general furore, the fever, the hysteria surrounding Alfredo Morelos, everyone's obsessed with him in this country. You know, guys like that kind of go unnoticed. Ryan Kent is a guy who is inconsistent at best, but he's a pretty good player. He's a pretty handy player. Granted, I only really see him against Celtic, and he was good in the previous game at Ibrox, notably giving Lustiger a terrible time. But he looks a pretty dangerous player, really. I'm not impressed with any of the rest of them, to be honest. No. I think Scott Arfield continues to mystify me. I don't know what it is about him. I believe in the game at Celtic Park this year, I described him as a wardrobe with eyes, and I don't think he's developed any further from there.
I wouldn't say Rangers' goal was coming, but from when we get out from half-time, the first half so dominant, got the goal ahead, man ahead as well. We just didn't seem to get a grip of the game from half time. Scott Sinclair came on for Johnny Hayes. Didn't make too much of a difference. He had a good chance early on, but
I should have scored that as well.
Yeah, but it was a good save.
Yeah,
we just didn't seem to get a grip of the game at half time. I think maybe I don't know. Can't obviously tell what they're thinking, but we just seemed to get a bit complacent and a bit slack, and I just didn't like it. And when Rangers scored, it was just, oh no, boys! I was like, I'm not going out after this. I'm going up the road.
The second half performance did worry me a bit because it was so flat compared to the first half.
There's no doubt. It's hard to get away from the fact that the second half performance was so poor, because up until the last 5 minutes, everyone was kind of panicking a bit. Yeah. You only took a glance at Twitter and it was full of, well, that's Lennon's finished. There's no way he gets a job after this. Look at the state of this performance, et cetera, et cetera. So that goal changed everything. It'd be remiss of us to completely ignore the fact that the game itself was a bit of a mess. Ultimately, all that matters really is Celtic having won. But the thing is, the spotlight is hugely on Neil Lennon just now because of the circumstances that he got the job under and this kind of willy-wonky idea of him getting the job. So performances are going to be scrutinised.
With Rangers going down to 10 men, if the Rat was still in charge, I think it would be a totally different second half. We would have known exactly what to do in that situation and how to play it out. Rangers, it's the third time I've seen them this season watching a full game, and I just don't know their style of play. But at the same time, I didn't really see our style of play in the second half on Sunday. We should have kept the ball better, we should have controlled the game, but we didn't, and it gave them some light. And they took the chance. It was a decent enough move from them.
Their best move of the game. It was pretty decent, to be fair.
It was. They took their chance, their one and only chance.
Yes. No. See, Melly, what the problem you've got there is, and if you listen to Tam McManus, he'll tell you, it's another spicy hot take.
Oh, wait, we've got a drop for this.
That's a spicy meatball!
There we go. Old young Tam's been at it again. One of Scottish football's new exciting voices, just hitting it with meaningless platitudes, really.
Yeah.
After the game, he said, that's why Celtic are champions. Again, they were poor, but dug out a win. First of all, if you have one good half and one bad half, and the other team has one good half and one bad half, I'm not sure how Celtic could be poor, but it doesn't matter.
Plus, you need to score to win. You can't dig out goals.
He says they dug out a win. That suggests wins are underground and they're not underground.
Honestly, if you weren't aware of this Stephen Gerrard pattern this week,
you'll be well aware of it by the time this podcast
ends. No idea what we're talking about.
But Tam McManus, Rangers deserve more. They didn't take their chances. Rangers, shots on target, one. Rangers, goals, one. They took their chances, Tam.
It's another typical example of the Scottish football just saying stuff.
Yeah.
And we talk about it all the time. Just saying stuff, just saying sentences that sound vaguely football-y.
Yeah.
Just didn't take their chances. Well, they took the one chance. They had 100% conversion rate with their chances. Speaking of just saying stuff, hashtag just saying stuff. Did you hear Billy Dodds on SportsSound trying to explain what he meant by a defender being comfortable on the ball?
No.
That's a sight to behold. Well, it's not a sight to behold, it's a sound to behold. He said Worrell is a defender who's comfortable on the ball.
Right.
And when his fellow panellists pointed out to him that he gives the ball away all the time, but he's comfortable on the ball. What do you mean by that? Well, he's comfortable taking the ball and then giving it away. That's not being comfortable on the ball. It's just been deluded about your abilities. Anyway, but again, just saying stuff.
Speaking of comfortable on the ball, Celtic, we did have a poor second half, but it was someone's comfort on the ball that gave us the breakaway. Tav, I thought a decent game. Tav game.
Yeah, typically Tav game. Yeah.
Who was he passing the ball to?
I have absolutely no idea. Now, he took the ball in and just passed it first time, really casually, to absolutely no one. Yeah. Now, did you see the moment when Kieran Tierney went off injured and Chris Evraya passed the ball to him when he had already been taken off injured? I'm wondering if that side of the pitch is haunted that day. People are just passing the ball to nobody. But he gave the ball away inexplicably. I still don't know. Having watched the replays back, I don't know who he was passing to. But one thing's for sure, Callum McGregor was onto it like a wee whippet.
He sure was. He done really well. Played through Edward again.
A great first-time ball,
Yep.
Early ball into that space, because their centre backs are just exposed time and time again, aren't they?
And he played it, and Edouard returned the favour, as you said, for James Forrest. Not quite a last minute goal that we've saw a lot of in recent weeks. What was that, 86 minutes?
Yeah,
late enough.
But all in all, a great win for Celtic, pushes us 13 points clear, but the performance, it was lacking.
It was lacking. Look, getting that win was brilliant. It's a typical Neil Lennon win, but unfortunately, that's all we've got recently is these late winners where we haven't performed, and it's not just one or two games. Maybe only the Hibs game, we have really performed pretty well and controlled the game.
See,
the rest.
With that, sorry to interrupt, I do think, I maintain that what I said a couple of weeks ago, see, if you're getting last minute winners, yes, it's not ideal, you shouldn't be doing it all the time, you shouldn't be relying on that, but at the same time, it should be commended.
Yeah.
Should be celebrated, and I don't mean literally a goal celebration, I mean that it should be congratulated to be able to constantly dig out, without using a shovel, Steven Gerrard, dig out these results. When they look beyond you, that game looked, you say the Rangers' goal didn't look like it was coming, but after they scored, it looked like another one was.
Yeah.
A couple of chances.
I'm not making any decisions anymore on Neil Lennon's future.
No.
I'm not going to discuss it, but I just think watching that performance yesterday, it did have me worried a wee bit, because it was such a dramatic drop off from the first half to the second. And I think you said exactly what I was thinking, Millie. Brendan Rodgers, the now departed, probably would have found a way to make the absolute most out of the man advantage. Whereas I think Neil Lennon kind of messed up his team selection with Johnny Hayes, and then subsequent to that messed up his substitutions and left himself without many options. And Rangers just absolutely went for it. Now, if Rangers absolutely went for it against a Brendan Rodgers team, his team would have probably stuck another three or four by them.
Hmm. Yeah, we'd have picked them off, we'd have stretched them, but we didn't do that. Rangers, they didn't have many great chances. Ryan Jack did have a good chance when it was cut back. That was an absolute shocker of a miss. Warrell right at the end, where Aya gets that tackle in, that was as good as a goal for us. Not literally, Stephen, but there was worries in there. Now, these games, Celtic v Rangers, they're different games from the rest, but it's just another game to add to the portfolio where we haven't really performed for 90 minutes when there was a good chance to.
What do you think contributed to our bad performance and letting Rangers back into the game in the second half?
I think it was a bit of slackness. We're a bit too passive. It was, instead of going from fullback into midfield into the wide players, we were doing that where we go back to the two centre halves instead of one centre half getting out, because we had space out wide because Rangers went 4-3-2, so their two strikers, Kent and Candace, they weren't really playing strikers, but they're in behind nobody as it was, and they were trying to split, but that should leave the space for Lustig and Tierney, and if we can get the ball quickly from centre half into them, into midfield, we should be able to exploit the space, and Sinclair and Forrest should stretch them. But it just didn't happen. We just didn't look like we had a plan.
Mm.
Yeah, that's interesting about what you should say about the plan. I didn't think there was one. I think Celtic eventually won the game because they had superior players who've been there and done that. I don't think it was because of tactical switches or anything like that, because I thought the substitutions were a mess. I know a lot of that was down to unexpected injuries, but at the same time, they are to be expected if you're going to play a half-fit Kieran Tierney, a half-fit Dedryck Boyata, a half-fit Olivier Nchan. That's going to happen. I thought I'd like to have seen Oliver Burke at some point yesterday, because I thought their defence is not only exposed, it's extremely slow, and they're confused. They don't look like they've played together, these guys, even though they've been playing together all season. I'd like to have seen him, team aware, barely worth even mentioning now, because he's barely featured in a couple of months now. But I'd like to have seen Burke. It wasn't to be. Tom Rogic came on. I didn't see it at all.
He didn't look up to speed at all. But I thought that was the right swap at the time, because I thought we could use some creativity in there. So that was it. 2-1. The game ended after a pretty dismal performance. But I'd like to end on a high note. Bamming up the Huns. How good was that? The final whistle goes, a wee bit of carnage. Bruni, I don't think he went over to the Rangers fans to celebrate. He just happened to be in that area of the pitch when the full time whistle went. Stephen doesn't believe me. He's got a skeptical face on.
Skeptical.
But anyway, it doesn't matter whether it was deliberate or not. It was enough to send wee Andy Halliday. And I'm so angry. And
can we just drop this class thing? Oh, he's got no class.
Wait,
the only reason the word class comes out of anyone's mouth after a game is sour grapes, right? Yeah. It's just bad losing.
You're not allowed to beat the Glasgow Rangers and have fun doing it.
No.
You have to show them the dignity and respect.
No, absolutely. Please spare me this idea that everyone's supposed to be a gentleman out there. Don't be ridiculous.
Why is all the talk about Scott Brown? Why is all the talk about... Morelos elbowed him. Ryan Kent punched him.
Yeah.
Andy Halliday tried to attack him. And everyone's going, oh, Scott Brown making everyone angry, eh? Like, it's not his fault.
He just lives rent-free in their heads. Kent-free.
He's putting violence into people's brains. That's what Scott Brown's up to.
Even Steven Gerrard after the game said that his players need more protection from Scott Brown.
Oh, for God's sake.
Three of your players, two of them get sent off for assaulting Scott Brown, and one of them will end up getting sent off for trying to punch him. It's not Scott Brown's fault. Although I do enjoy seeing it.
It's the oldest thing in the book. Is that this stuff has existed since football has. The guy's just going out and putting wee digs in. The thing is, you're calling for Scott Brown to be punished for what? Tell me what he should be punished
Rangers.
For. Yeah, for beating Rangers, for bamming people up. That's not a crime.
It was all fun and games when Scott Arfield was doing it. Fun and games.
They showed weakness. He pounced.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There was a bit of a melee after the match. One thing.
A melee at the match as well.
My favourite was the wee guy, whoever you are, I hope you listen. I think he was about 7. He ran on the pitch at one point with no shirt on. Started getting at Wahoo, and the steward tried to huckle him, and he's huckling him up, and big Christopher Iyer takes his shirt off and gives it to the wee
guy.
That was my highlight of the post-match.
Shout out, a sort of begrudged shout out to Wes Fotheringham for slide tackling Mikael Lustig. Just for the banter, to be honest, I quite admired that.
Why did he slide tackle
him? I have no idea. I know it's on the wrong side, not, but it was like one of those really obnoxious viral videos that goes around where people are doing it to people in the street or at school or something. They just got the slide tackle your pal. That's what it looked like.
But just a final note on classlessness after the game. Neil Lennon shook Steven Gerrard's hand.
Tried to say something to
him. Tried to have a wee chat to him. Steven Gerrard completely pied him and just charged right up the touchline.
In the melee at the end, I've got a wee soft spot for John Flanagan's role in it as well because
it reminded you that John Flanagan
exists. Yeah, John Flanagan, you can still find him. You can still find him. He looked just slightly bewildered, but also very, very nervous. He was kind of walking around in the middle, pushing people, but he had this really nervous smile on his face.
See all that? Like I said it already, but they'll love that. They'll love that. Yeah. Wouldn't they? Like Halliday running over to Scott Brown just to shout at him, like, come on.
That's as good as points on the table
that,
for them.
That is it. That's my Rangers. He's battling for the jersey and all that pish. You're crap at football. You're terrible at football. And all they want is just to be seen to be battling.
He really is, by the way. Did you see that attempted clearance early on as well? He just hooked it straight up in the air. He's abysmal at football. And you get, how many times has he played against Celtic now? About 10?
Aye. So he said when he beat us at Ibrox, that was the best day of his life, of his whole life. That was the best day of it. So I hope that one was the worst.
Nothing came close to it in Azerbaijan then when he was over there.
Old Azerbaijan Day holiday.
On Stevie G and his failure to grasp what metaphors are, but he's another one who's out there just saying stuff because he's, in one hand he said that Alfredo Morelos, he's stuck up for him at various points this season, but he can no longer defend him. That's him basically done with it. But then...
Under the bus you go.
Yep, but a few sentences later he blames Scott Brown for the whole thing.
What he did was he says, listen, this is all going to be handled internally. It's going to be handled internally. We're not going to discuss it here. I'm going to recommend to the board he's fined a week's wages. That's the opposite of internally.
Yeah.
And I did like when he says, and I'm going to make sure that money's given to the fans. Stephen, get the Rangers fans bobbies out your mouth.
I know.
All right, stop trying to suckle up to them so to distract them from how bloody bad at your job you are.
I like how much Steven Gerrard has been utterly exposed as a clown since he's been taken on a management role. He's an imbecile. All the chat was about how he's this huge personality, he's this big, larger-than-life personality. He's not. He's just really famous because he was good at football. He's got nothing about his personality at all. He can't think in his feet, as we've seen with this Lions Den debacle. He's just, he's not a very bright man. Well, I'm sure he's not
if
stupid.
He doesn't get, see if he doesn't get metaphors, does that mean every pre-match team talk, he gets the team in and goes, okay, boys, Celtic the day, go out and score more goals than they have. Let's go! You know? Just a final word on Steven Gerrard, and it's badly put because I've honestly been searching for this quote for months now to do it justice, and I can't find it. Maybe I'll try and find it for the next time they play Rangers, but I can't find it anywhere if someone finds it. I think there was an interview, I think it might have been with Rafa, and they were asking him what the difference between Xabi Alonso and Gerrard was.
Brain cells.
Aye, and the point was, the takeaway was, Steven Gerrard doesn't have a footballing brain. And that is, he's a footballer. He was a good player, right? But he wasn't brilliantly astute or particularly cultured. All his game was based around effort and hard work, which is admirable, but that he's trying to be a football manager here. And I mean, what's his win rate at the moment?
49%.
Aye, so he's sitting worse than all the recent Rangers managers, probably worse than Murty and Kashinya.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And he's 13 points behind us with another Glasgow derby to play.
6 points ahead of Kilmarnock.
6 points. I mean, they could end up 15 points behind us again this season after everything that's happened to us.
I know. It could be more than that. Could comfortably end up 18, 19 or whatever the case.
Once the split comes in, they've got a terrible record against the top half of the table, so it's just going to be hard games without Morelos as well.
What more could have happened to Celtic to give them a chance?
Oh, I know. Aye.
And surely they must be looking at that. Celtic made an arse of the transfer windows, lost their manager, had several big players injured for a lot of the season.
They've had every psychological advantage going.
Aye. Yeah. And they beat us at Ibrox.
Yes.
And we've lost lots of games on our own.
That was at the end of December. Then there was a break. So since February, end of January, February, they have shipped 13 points to us.
They were on the same points as us coming out of that game at Ibrox, and we had a game in hand.
A final thing on Morelos. Now, I've been keeping an eye on Hun Twitter, because I really wanted to see the cliche I was looking for. And I wanted to see someone say, aye, but if you take that out of his game, he's not going to be the same player. You know what I mean?
Did they say it?
Aye, there's plenty of people saying that. But that's, again, just total cliched nonsense, right? Do you know how you get to say that about Eric Cantona, Zinedine Zidane? No, if you take that edge away, you don't get to say that about just every wee roaster who can't keep his temper on the pitch. That it's not like he's playing on the very edge of genius and mayhem like those guys were. He's like
the Joker or something. No,
those guys get sent off for massive issues, like well-known things, big things, the kung fu kick, headbutt in the final from Zidane. Not getting sent off every week in a league
for a petulant gadget.
Kicking Kirk Broadfoot.
Half the time doing things in games and not getting cited for it. He's doing it every game near enough.
He's getting caught, he's on the radar of the referees, and he's just not smart enough to wriggle his way out of it.
Poster boy for Colombian football, mate.
according to the BBC.
Oh, that was Neil McCann said that. He's been talking about him as if he's this shining light for Colombian football. I think, has he not got like two caps total in about 18 minutes?
Aye, something like that. The poster boy
for Colombian football.
8 games against Celtic and he's not scored.
On Colombian football, actually, Morelos, we now know, has broken the European red card record for a single season. But unfortunately, he's got some way to go before he can claim the overall record, because it belongs to Gerardo Bedoya, who is a fellow Colombian footballer who was once sent off 7 times in a season and 46 times overall in his career.
I mean, there's still time.
You could do it. You could definitely do it. You've got to dream.
He's banned for 4 games. There's not 6 games left.
Glad you took the air out of that balloon, Millie. Thank you.
It's going to be a hard one for him, mate. He might have to go on and get a double red card in the first game he comes back.
That is doable.
Telling you, it's possible. You've got to dream. You've got to have ambitions.
And on that note, we shall end our Glasgow derby discussion. Any other business? I suppose we could talk about Scotland. And that laugh is probably all we'll need to say about it.
Yeah.
It's unfold. I hate to say we told you so, but the Mickleish debacle is unfolding the way everyone thought it would.
So what have we had since then? We had the 3-0 defeat of Kazakhstan.
Yes.
Now, I should say right here now that saying stuff isn't an exclusively Hunnish pastime. No. After that game, James Forrest came out and said that against Kazakhstan, we started really well.
Yes.
They were 2-0 down after 10 minutes.
Yes, James, stop that. Difficult place to go, though, Kazakhstan, to play your football. Celtic lost 4-3. But anyway, look, there was reports in the paper last week that McLeish was getting the sack on Monday, and then it just never transpired. So
Russia found it difficult going there, didn't they?
4-0. And of course, the exhilarating 2-0 route over the world's worst team, San Marino, who I looked into. I've said on the podcast before, because I'm sure Scotland must have played San Marino, but I've been to San Marino. It is a hill. It's roughly about the size of Rutherglen, and Scotland beat them 2-0.
What's up next for the Hoops, Stephen?
St Mirren away on Wednesday, back to the old midweek fixtures. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's on BT Sports on Wednesday night. Yeah.
How many games have we got before the split?
Two, I think it's St Mirren Livingston, then it's Aberdeen, and then we're into the split. Aberdeen Mirren, the cup, obviously.
Fighting for their lives, though. Up and down season, obviously, mostly down for St Mirren, but they are clamouring for their lives. Livingston are safe. Livingston, there's no chance of them going down, so I don't see them being too much trouble. But St Mirren could be a tricky one away on a Wednesday night with the injuries mounting for Celtic. Yes.
Lennon still obviously undefeated as Celtic manager. Yep. Patreon. Stephen, what have we been doing last week for the patrons? Well, last week we didn't put out a podcast because Scotland were playing. So for you guys, the listeners, we put out The O'Neill Years, which is something we're working on for the patron. It's like a documentary. I don't want to be too grand about it, but it's a documentary.
A podumentary,
looking back over Martin O'Neill's time as Celtic manager, an in-depth look.
Yeah.
Every episode we're going to take big moments and seasons and everything else. And that we
two episodes into that now, yeah.
Yeah, and that wee taster was, well, the end of the Barnes era, which ushered in the O'Neill years. Episode 2 of the O'Neill years is available on the Patreon, as will all future episodes of the O'Neill years be available on the Patreon. We've done Melly at the Match. Immediate reaction to the Celtic Rangers game. And for the treble tier, we've got the fortnightly phone-in.
Yes, that'll be out on Friday.
On Friday.
Always go down well.
If you're a treble tier patron, please send us your voice notes, send us your questions. And Melly, you were on someone else's podcast. We loaned you out. You went on loan to someone else's podcast recently. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Loan swoop to another podcast.
A friend of the show, Sean McDonald, his podcast Blathered, and went on last Thursday. Spoke about a big battle I had with depression last year, so you can check that out on iTunes and all.
Massively well received.
Yeah, it's excellent stuff. I would highly recommend you go and check it out.
Real talk, as they say, as the kids say. And on that, thanks for listening.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.